For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Chris Brain from The Home Team, David Johnston from The Morning Show. You put that together, it adds up to the Crossover podcast here on 960theref.com. Also, on iTunes, you can subscribe to us there. And thanks to our sponsor, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, as always in Watkinsville, and now open with that location in Five Points. And as it turns out, for a week in May, it's become a busy and eventful week. We've got a handful of topics to cover. Georgia baseball getting set to begin regional play and postseason play. They are a national seed for the second straight year, so they win-win. They got home games at Foley Field to make it to Omaha. Nick Claxton made his decision this week with that deadline a couple of days ago as to whether or not he was going to stay in the draft or return to Georgia. He decided to stay in the draft.
I hate it when you're right about that stuff.
So, hey, I'm happy. I mean, I'm upset I was right about it, too. I wish he'd come back. But
darn it.
Yeah, he's got to do what he's got to do. Yep. And, hey, point spreads came out on Thursday. We're recording this on Friday. So yesterday, the great Golden Nugget in Clark County, Nevada.
Our second favorite Clark County.
Yes, produced point spreads for 100, as they call them, game of the year college football games this upcoming season. And there were a few Georgia games that made the cut, plus some kickoff time. So we'll talk about that. But, Dave, I guess we'll start with regional play for Georgia baseball. Again, we're recording this on Friday. They play in just a couple of hours, 7 o'clock, against Mercer. It is an interesting regional in you've got a big name in Florida State, but they're not they're the 3 seed, right?
Yeah, they are the 3 seed.
So Florida Atlantic comes in as the 2 seed. I remember several years ago, they did win a regional at Alabama.
FAU, they did not win their conference tournament, but they still get a 2 seed. So Conference USA gets an extra team in since Southern Miss gets in. And Florida Atlantic is nothing to sneeze at. They hit the ball really well. And I know this game with Florida State's about to get started here in just a few minutes as we record this, but they are not anyone, even though they're not from one of the power conferences, but a number 2 seed, that they'll have their chip on their shoulder against Florida State, just like Mercer will tonight against Georgia, with the smaller school playing the big school. And then whoever wins, whether it's Florida State or FAU, and however it matches up tomorrow, hopefully Georgia wins tonight. But if the Dogs are taking on Florida State, it's an SEC-ACC matchup, and if the Dogs are taking on FAU, it's a team that's going to be playing again with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I feel like with the other 3 teams, as far as the Georgia perspective goes, Florida Atlantic probably is like the one you think about the least. Mercer's an old nemesis. I mean, Georgia's much better now, but we quit playing them because we couldn't beat them.
They won 5 out of 6 against Georgia from 15 to 17.
Yeah, and we haven't played them since.
Right.
And, you know, now we're the hand has been dealt to us, so we're forced into it, but that's great. And, Florida State obviously is Florida State. That's just a traditional powerhouse program in college baseball, but Florida Atlantic probably does, of those 3 teams, pose the biggest threat to Georgia. But if there's any threat at all, because I was looking at odds to win the title, Georgia's 14-1.
Yeah,
and I just think that's crazy. And I'm not maybe I am being a homer, but I don't think there's any team in the country with a better chance to win the College World Series than Georgia does.
Don't like Vanderbilt better than Georgia?
No, they came here, they couldn't hit.
They got shut down.
Yeah, I'm not saying like Georgia's that should be the favorite or anything, but even UCLA, which admittedly I don't know anything about other than they've only lost like 8 or 9 games this year, but
they're 47-8.
Yeah, you couldn't convince me though that they've got twice as good a chance to win the national championship as Georgia does.
Yeah, I tell you, now if all 8 seeds held made it to the College World Series, it'd be very, very interesting. That's not going to happen. It just doesn't work that way. But yeah, you see some of these gaudy records, and I agree with you. We saw Vanderbilt come here, and that was a great series. But here's the other thing, too. It's like, what are the odds for LSU? You know, they're hosting a regional. If they were to win and Georgia were to win, then LSU would be coming back to Athens. But think how close that series was.
Yeah, that series
took
a, yeah.
You know, it took a, you know, an ESPN SportsCenter play by Randon Jernigan on a great catch, and a three-run homer from Austin Big R and a grand slam from John Cable to win that series. So it's just such a fine line between all these teams. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, going back to what happened a week ago at the SEC tournament, nothing sums up how crazy baseball can be and how cruel it can be at times, and the fact that Texas A&M's starting pitchers took no hitters into the eighth and ninth innings in consecutive games and didn't win either one.
Lost both games.
Yeah. And so you're right. That series with LSU that Georgia won, Georgia could have easily swept it. They could have easily been swept, but
sure,
they took two out of three. So
I mean, 1-0, 2-0, and 9-7 were the scores of those games.
Yeah. I'm looking, if you want some odds, let's see. LSU, I'm looking, they're 30-1.
Okay.
To win. The favorite is UCLA and Vandy. They're 8-1. Arkansas 12-1. Mississippi State and Georgia are 14-1.
What about Tech?
Tech is 16-1.
Okay.
So did they get a national? Are they the?
They're the three.
Tech's the three seed?
Tech is the three. Welcome back.
Yeah.
From vacation. Yes, yeah. Tech got the three seed. So did the game at SunTrust Park decide who would be the three and who would be the four
could
national
have.
Seed?
I mean, that's fair play. They did win the season series.
Yeah, and Ray Tanner mentioned that on the selection show Sunday. But who would have thought that it would have come down to that game?
Right.
But maybe it did.
So,
I don't know.
So as it turns out, these midweek games that you're like, they don't matter.
Yeah,
they're not important.
Believe me, we've already been called out for that. But again, it's like, yes, I get it, but – hey, Tech didn't start their weekend guys either in that game.
No, I know. I like that next year they're going to play early in the year like Clemson and South Carolina doing. So.
Yeah, so it'll definitely – you'll see the weekend starters pitching against them, and I definitely like that. But, you know, normally, 99% of the time, it doesn't matter. But this was one of those years where, yeah, you could say it did. So, and it wasn't like once the game started, you weren't trying to not win the game.
Well, so what is the difference between the three and the four seed? You mentioned potentially Georgia would have to face LSU, which seems like something you'd rather not have to do, even if it is in Athens, to make it to Omaha. Who would Tech play?
Tech's matched up with North Carolina, who just beat them in the ACC tournament final. The committee, the selection committee of the 16, or I guess, excuse me, of the eight, what you would call, you know, pods, I guess.
Right.
Let's see. So four of them could potentially be SEC versus ACC. SEC versus SEC, excuse me.
Which they did last year, too.
Yeah, and then there, but, I mean, they did match up UCLA with Oregon State. They matched up Oklahoma State with Texas Tech. They matched up North Carolina with Georgia Tech. So it looks like the priority there for them was to make sure that not one conference got a bunch of different teams in. And they didn't want to have an SEC tournament out in Omaha.
Yeah.
So,
no, which I – that happened like once in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, didn't four of the teams in the West make it out there? It was like Auburn, Bama, LSU.
But wouldn't you just say, well, you know, those might be four of the top eight teams in the country.
If they are.
Yeah. Like, Arkansas and Ole Miss are matched up. LSU and Georgia are matched up. Vandy's matched up with West Virginia's bracket, but West Virginia has A&M in it. And then the other one was, well, the North Carolina Tech one, but Tennessee's in one, Auburn's in the other. So, I mean, you could, in theory, have a situation there.
Now, have you perused the because the Major League Baseball draft starts, I guess it's next week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's next week. Yeah.
Are there any, like, guys with say, Florida Atlantic that
I mean, most of the top guys that are in this regional play for Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I had already looked at a lot of the tournament projections actually had Florida State coming here, and I looked them up a couple weeks ago. They don't appear to be a good matchup against Georgia because they've been shut out like 8 or 9 times this year. With Georgia's pitching, I would think, well, if you can't hit, then you're going to struggle.
Here's what I'm scared of with Florida State is that Mike Martin, this is his, you know, this could be his last weekend of coaching baseball.
Yeah, motivation.
He's set to retire. By the way, how weird is it? 1992, 27 years ago, Florida State hosted a regional that included Georgia and Kent State. So a young Scott Strickland was in Tallahassee, Florida, playing for Kent State, and now here he is coaching to potentially end the career of Mike Martin.
Well, that's the selection committee. They do that stuff,
they
right?
They do that weird stuff.
Were they thinking about that? Hey.
I mean, it's just bizarre. But the other thing about Florida State, too, is that I'm sure they've read all week long that, hey, if Boston College or Pitt or Virginia Tech had this resume, they wouldn't be in the tournament.
Yeah.
So they're probably feeding off of that a little bit also. Hey, Florida State just got in because of Mike Martin.
It probably is. Might be true, but
I mean, it might.
But you're right.
They can use that for motivation.
Yeah, you're when you've got like a group of young 20 somethings that can, you know, any little thing that could fuel them and fire them up. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned some of those teams like Boston College and Pitt. I mean, I think those are among the teams that shut them out this year. So if you're not scoring runs against those guys, then good luck against Georgia's pitching.
Of the four teams here, and by the way, Mercer had to win 6 out of 7. In the SoCon tournament this past weekend to get in. So they're playing good baseball. Here's the thing, though, that jumps out at me. Opponent's batting average. Florida State's 240. Mercer's 281. Florida Atlantic's 284. And Georgia's 196. That seems to be the big number there.
Yeah.
For what we're going to see. I think the run reduction that we like to talk about with Georgia, if the Dogs pitch like they have and play defense like they have, unless there's a Griffin Conine that just gets red hot like he did for Duke last year, I mean, this is a regional that Georgia needs to win.
Right. And I even think, thinking to last year's team, Georgia's pitching this year's way deeper.
Yeah.
Because that the survival game and that second game on that Monday, Georgia started C.J. Smith, who played center field the first game.
Yeah.
Which might not have been ideal in hindsight.
Exactly. But certainly looking forward to it. And Mike Martin, just a great, great representative of college baseball now for 4 decades. I mean, Jeff and I kind of stumbled on this. You know, his first year was 1980, and, you know, they were in the College World Series in 2017. Those are, for Georgia football, those are big years.
Yeah.
For the national championship.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, playing for a national championship. This guy's been the head coach for Florida State baseball all that time. So he's terrific. He's like Ron Polk, though. He's been to 1,000 College World Series and never won a national championship. And normally I would say, God, I wish he could get one, but I'm not saying that this year because that would mean it would be at Georgia's expense.
Yeah, not now.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully his career ends here this weekend
exactly.
At some point.
Exactly, but he's awesome. I like him a lot.
It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now open in 5 Points here on 960theref.com. We will take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Georgia football, the Golden Nugget in Vegas, threw out some point spreads. There were a handful of Georgia games on the list, a couple kickoff times announced, too. And, unfortunately, I was right. Nick Claxton, he is leaving Georgia to turn pro. That decision came, and I when he released that statement to me, it was game, set, and match even back then, because it just sounded like he was saying
goodbye. Was that
before
or after the combine?
It was before he even you found out he got invited to that.
When we were talking about that before, and I was like, I know a couple people was like, he's just testing the waters, you know, he'll be back. And then after the combine, you could sort of start to see it's like, okay, you know, there's a lot of things about Claxton that the pros like.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact, too, that this isn't the deepest draft that we've had in a while also helps the situation. But, I mean, he wouldn't be staying in it if he didn't think 100% that he was going to go in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, one way or another, even if he's in the G League next year or something, he's going to be getting paid to play basketball somewhere. But we'll talk about how that looks for Georgia now. I mean, the roster for Georgia in Tom Crean's second year is really – flipped over now. There's going to be a couple of faces we recognize, but just a lot of new ones out there now next season. Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
true Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, Chris Brame, David Johnston with you. The crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also now open in Five Points.
Looks good in Five Points, too. I've ridden by there a couple of times, going to be going in there the next week, but I love the way it looks there in Five Points.
Yeah, I've been to the one in Watkinsville several times, but I haven't gotten to the one in Five Points yet.
Don't worry, Richard. We're coming.
Yeah, we're coming.
We're coming.
But I'm sure they're doing all right.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
That's good prime real estate in that old Waffle House building there in Five Points. We mentioned before we took the little break there, Nick Claxton, the deadline for him to decide whether or not he wanted to stay or go pro has passed, and he decided he's going to stay in the NBA draft process. And for me, like I said, I didn't think it looked good from the moment he announced and he released that statement that just, for me, it sounded like he was saying goodbye. Then he got invited to the combine, which I did not think was a great sign. And then post-combine, and you mentioned it, I think, on our last edition, there was an article about risers and fallers after the combine, and he was the number two riser.
Yeah, that's when it started looking to me like, oh boy, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Although you could say, well, if he stayed another year at Georgia, maybe he becomes a lottery pick, where maybe he's not this year. But, you know, he's got to live his own life. You know, that's the thing. He's got to do what he thinks is best for him. What's best for us as fans is we'd like him to come back and play for Georgia. But if that's not the best thing for him, then that's what you got to do. And for Coach Crean, too, there is at least the silver lining of, hey, look what he did from his freshman year to his sophomore year. He improved. You know, he went from averaging 4 points a game to 13 points a game. He led the team in scoring, rebounding, block shots. What am I leaving out? He was second in assists.
Yeah.
You know, come to Georgia and your game will improve like that too. Now, granted, Yonte Maton wasn't here last year, but, we won't talk about that. Because when Nicholas was a freshman, he was playing, I guess, behind Maton or whatever. But still, all these new faces that Georgia has, getting the grad transfer, Donnell Gresham. Georgia did get a verbal commitment that might end up being a guy that can play this year. And Rodney Howard, who had signed with Ole Miss and now is getting out of that. And
realize their coach's name is Kermit.
Kermit's a good coach, though.
He is a good coach.
So with whatever's going there, will he be able to play this year or not? I don't know. But at least there's another big guy in the fold that Georgia has. He, from what I understand, maybe kind of a project, maybe raw, but with a lot of potential. But we'll see. But a ton of new faces that are going to be on this Georgia roster for the 2019-2020 season.
You highlighted by the class Georgia signed with Anthony Edwards. And I guess I would just think back to, as last season was a struggle, as we all know, the thing that made it tolerable toward the end was knowing that Edwards had committed.
Yep.
And I think looking ahead to next season, even before Claxton made this decision, most of our excitement about the potential for the upcoming season mostly had to do with the fact that Edwards is in here. So it would be great. It'd be better to have Claxton back, obviously. But this also doesn't doom Georgia's chances of having a decent team next year.
I ran into one of our former coaches at a baseball game, and he was talking about the Ant-Man. Or is it just Ant-Man? Is there a the Ant-Man or just Ant-Man?
Well, in Marvel, it's just Ant-Man.
All right. Yeah. So he was talking about Ant-Man.
It's like, don't call him the Atlanta United or the United.
Exactly.
Or
exactly. Yeah. But he said that Ant-Man is already NBA worthy. I mean, he's already NBA guy. So
yeah, like if he could turn pro,
he wouldn't be here.
Right.
That he's already that skilled. So I can't wait to see him. I really can. I'm looking forward to that. But so who's back?
Hammonds,
Crump, Harris, Gomezzi.
Yeah. Who is, unless depending on the kid from Ole Miss, is our tallest player.
Yeah.
The only one we've got over 6'8".
Right. Are we leaving anybody out? And then all the new guys, right?
Yeah. I think from last year's team, we mentioned
I don't have
them
the
all.
Roster in front of me, but I think that's it.
Because, yeah.
JoJo Toppin's in the portal, or is he gone?
He went to Georgia State.
Okay.
And then
I know
Tyshawn
went
to Tulane.
And
so Hammond's, Ogbede's gone, so we got Crump, Harris, Ngumeze, Turtle's gone. Wait, Woolridge went somewhere too, right? Maybe he
graduated.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
he was
he graduated,
a senior.
Yeah.
Ty Fagan.
Okay.
Is he here?
I
don't know.
He's back.
Yeah, he's back. That's it, though.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
No,
he's gone.
Sarjunas left too?
Yep.
Okay.
He gone.
All right. So, yeah. Basically, you've got, we mentioned them, Crump, Harris, Ngumeze, and Hammonds. And
okay.
Then you've got all of the new faces.
It'll be like a single-A baseball team, living in a town of a single-A baseball team.
Yeah.
Where they just, it's the same. It's the team's name is still the same, but the faces and the individual names are all different.
Well, and that's the thing with Edwards. Don't get used to seeing him around because he'll be here 1 year.
That's right.
He's projected to be like the first or second pick in in next year's draft. So you got the one I'm, you know, Edwards is obviously the player that comes with the highest profile, but that Jaquan Walton is, because he had been a one-time Mississippi State commitment to Ben Howland,
right?
And you know, he's one of those, like, he's not getting all the attention obviously that Edwards is, but he could end up being. He's I got money on him to be a solid player next season.
What's up with poaching these guys from the state of, or they're not from the state of Mississippi that were committed to Mississippi schools?
Yeah, I know.
I'll take it.
Yeah. For me, I mean, it'd be an easy sell with Ole Miss, and you're right, he is a good coach. They had a good year, but like his name is Kermit. He's an adult and he goes by Kermit. All right, we'll close out today the crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Georgia point spreads now available in Vegas. The one that jumped out to me first that ordinarily I'd be worried about, but this Georgia team has the last 2 years in spots where they're supposed to be trap games or let down look aheads or whatever. -3.5 at Jacksonville.
Why did I think I knew you were going there with
would
that?
Would ordinarily be disturbing to me, but now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's free money right there.
If I was going to ask you, if there's one game out of all these that if you would jump on it right now, it would have to be that one, right? Because there's a chance that could be a double-digit point spread by the time the game rolls
around.
Yeah,
you're talking about us betting on Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
Georgia.
The one.
Yeah.
The one, if I was going to go against them, would be the 7.5 at Auburn.
Okay.
Because that's Georgia's. They're off a bye.
Yeah.
Auburn's in that mode where they got us and Bama at home, and you never know.
It's an odd number year. They get rejuvenated because they get to play Georgia and Bama at home. What do you think? All right, would you put Bama and Georgia on the same level?
Yes.
Okay. Then does the Texas A&M point spread seem kind of strange? Only in the sense that the dogs are favored by, let me find it here, 12.5 over A&M, and Bama is favored by whatever they were. It was like 20, or maybe it was 18. So I didn't know what to kind of take from that.
And they're both home games, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I think what it is Bama's just still is overrated by the general market, and that showed up last year when they failed to cover their last three games against us, Oklahoma, and Clemson.
Okay.
I mean, their point spreads are just ridiculous. But the fact that they were a 2-touchdown a favorite against Georgia in that SEC title game was absurd.
And by the way, Lou, I stand corrected, that they are playing A&M in College Station as a 14-point favorite in Georgia. So they're favored by more at College Station than Georgia's favored over A&M here in Athens.
Yeah, I think Bama just is – sometimes they could be a tad overrated. But I say this for Bama, and this is where I get to where if you start trying to circle spots on Georgia's schedule that you look at and think, like, that could be dangerous. What I like about the last 2 years is that just hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
And so – like, if you look last season at Bama ATS, like, okay, they didn't cover against, the Citadel, or they didn't cover against Western Kentucky, whoever they played.
Yeah.
but they covered the games where even coming off of the game against LSU, then they host Mississippi State. Mississippi State's got a good defense. So that was a tough game for Bama, but in the end, like, they still covered and won.
Saban's just so good about, like, he won't hesitate if he can blow somebody out in the conference, but for whatever reason, the little guys, he doesn't beat up on them as badly as he could.
Yeah. I think some of that is just like...
But he's always right around the number.
Right. Well, like, so Bama last year didn't cover at Arkansas. They were a 35-point favorite.
Yeah.
And, like, I looked at... If you look at Clemson, it was kind of the same thing where they didn't cover last year against Georgia Southern or Furman, and then they didn't cover that second game of the season when they were, like, a two-touchdown favorite at Texas A&M. But, you know, then they got kind of rolling there in the middle of the year, and... When I think back to Georgia last year, like, well, who didn't we cover against? We didn't cover against, like, Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, some of the same stuff.
But we pretty much covered – I guess we ended up not covering against Tennessee. But,
yeah.
But we were – you know, we just –
But it was on the, it was close to the number, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're just – okay, some of those are just outrageous numbers.
That's where it gets to the point where Vegas just has to kind of protect itself, right? I mean
– Yeah.
Because if they make them too low, they'll just get – obliterate.
Everyone's going to pile on.
Yeah.
But that's just why when I look at some of those lines that came out for Georgia, I think that's even if there are some spots that you look at and like, well, that could be a tricky spot, the letdown, the trap game, teams coming off a bye. I like Georgia's just they're not letting any of that stuff affect them anymore.
So, Brahm, asking for a friend, do you think we can beat Tech in week 14?
Yeah.
Okay.
That number was 20 and a half.
20 and a half.
That's an easy cover.
Like I said, asking for a friend.
The Notre Dame game, too, is...
You think that's easy money?
Yeah. We'll beat them by elite, by double digits, right?
Nine and a half? It won't be 9.5 for the game. Which, by the way, we did get some kickoff time, so now we know Vanderbilt's going to be a 7:30 kickoff, 6:30 local time. Got 4 o'clock for Murray State and then noon for Arkansas State. And then, kind of interesting, the SEC on CBS announcing this week that Alabama at South Carolina on September 14 will be their first game. The following week's going to be a doubleheader. And the week of the Bama LSU game is not a doubleheader. So Bama and LSU will not be playing prime time this year.
Wow.
They'll be at 3:30.
Yeah.
So the two weekends of the doubleheaders are the weekend before we play – the weekend that Georgia plays Notre Dame and then the weekend before the LSU-Bama game.
CBS looking to get Notre Dame in prime time.
You got Florida and Auburn. I'm sorry. No, Florida and Tennessee and A&M and Auburn.
And
Georgia Notre
right.
Dame.
If you're a Georgia fan and you're trying to make your plans for the season,
yeah.
That game's going to kick off at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 7:30, yeah. 8, whatever it
or
is.
Or actually, it's like 8:15.
Yeah, nighttime kickoff.
Yeah, that game's kicking off then.
Yeah.
Georgia
yeah.
Notre Dame.
Yes, indeed.
That's a late game. Don't even worry about
it. But LSU, Alabama, has it lost a little bit of its luster?
Yeah, that'll be something.
It'll
yeah,
be
it
a
has.
3:30 kickoff, I guess.
Because it's just one-way traffic in that game now.
Yeah, 8 in a row.
Yeah.
But then again... Bama's got long winning streaks against a lot of teams in the conference.
Yeah, Tennessee hasn't beaten Saban. I don't think Arkansas has either.
Nope. I think
State did it once with Kroom in 07.
Yep.
They haven't won since.
I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's done over there.
Yeah.
So, it's going to have a little different look this year.
They're going to lose to Kirby this year.
Yes, they are.
All right, crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points, episode number 89. We appreciate you checking us out this week and every week. We'll be back again next week. I think next week we probably just go normal.
We'll go normal next
week.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But
hopefully we'll be getting ready to talk about Georgia hosting
a super,
whether it's LSU or Arizona State. They're the 2 seed there. Southern Miss is the 3, and Stony Brook. They got a little history there with LSU.
They've
so they're
won
playing
there
them today. Yeah.
And then they went and won, they went to Omaha. So
yeah.
I don't remember who they beat in a super, but it was
LSU?
Oh, did they win the Super there?
Well,
I don't remember if that was – you're right. They won the Super there.
Yeah.
They won a regional somewhere else and won the Super in Baton Rouge.
I know they have history.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. There was the Super they won in LSU. So.
That's just baffling.
Yeah. But yeah, they went to Omaha.
So, I know.
They've been to Omaha.
I know. It's crazy.
Watch out for them. All right, for David Johnston, I'm Chris Brain. We appreciate you checking us out. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes, or you can download us and listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. The crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.